Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people in Mendocino County. Today's show is hosted by Laytonville High School students, and this is our 19th year of production. I'm Jacob Peterson, and I am a senior at Laytonville High School.
I'm Corona Gillespie, and I'm a junior at Laytonville High School.
I'm Natalia Taneo, and I'm a junior at Laytonville High School.
I'm Jeff E.K., and I'm a junior at Laytonville High School.
Athena North and Sky Poulton were also seriously involved in this recording. They're both from Laytonville High School.
Today we have several topics: sexual health, toxic masculinity, and equity.
We will begin with sexual health. Where do youth get their information on safe sex, STDs, and birth control? How sexually active are teenagers, and are the adults in our community good role models for wise sex? Social media influences young people on most aspects of our lives. Is sex education a frequent topic in our schooling? Are STDs rampant among our peers? This topic will lead us into a discussion of toxic masculinity. How do we define it? What is mansplaining? Is our generation still shaped by gender models from 50 years ago, or are we in the process of evolving society?
How do we feel about the homeless? Is there equity in our culture, or do we learn to look away from people living on the streets? How have the California fires of recent years led to more tent cities under overpasses in our cities? What kind of assumptions do we have about the homeless? We will cover all this and more in today's edition of Youth Speaks Out. We will begin by talking about what sexual health means to us.
Practicing safe sex, using condoms, birth control, I guess.
Just having a positive environment when you are doing sexual things or having sexual experiences. It's just making it a very positive and happy place and not having negative things come into it from a person or a bad experience.
Making sure everybody's comfortable and consenting.
Yeah.
Consent. For sure, consent.
Mm-hmm. Getting yourself in bad situations. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you can kind of if you're having sex with someone you don't know, it could very well turn bad,
Or if you're having sex you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not ready yet.
Mm-hmm. If you're also, like you said, if you're not ready yet, then it's not good either.
Or if you're, under the influence, mm-hmm. it might not be a very safe experience.
So what are your sources of learning about sexual health?
The internet and the clinic and the adults around those.
Yeah, definitely the adults too.
The school sometimes sets up programs in order to educate the students about safe sex and just different topics regarding sexual health.
How many times in a year would that happen? Does that happen? This year, how many times, this school year, how many times have you guys had meetings like that?
I don't think we ever have. In my high school experience.
The freshmen,
yeah.
I think
had one.
During my...
Had someone come.
During,
well, I haven't.
Yeah, if you took...
It's changed
to health and driver's ed. Once we did health, mm-hmm. they brought in someone from Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely talk about it a lot. I don't know. And the peer counseling training, too, also really helped a lot. Mm-hmm. There was, a bunch of things I didn't know about, too.
When that dude came and gave his presentation about that woman and all that, that was definitely a lot.
Mm-hmm. Healthy Start does a lot for that, actually.
Could you give some details about how they present the topic?
It's always, really professional, and it's always very, they talk, and then if they tell us stuff that's, actually interesting, not, the same things every time, and then when it's time... They'll stop, and then if anybody has questions, they'll answer all their questions. And it's always, open environment.
Yeah,
everybody can talk.
No question is a bad question.
And it's professional, but on, a personal level, you can ask them, converse with them.
Yeah, you can always feel comfortable asking questions, too.
And don't they let you do, anonymous questions? Mm-hmm. They have a slip box, and you can put it in there.
My buddy's going through sex ed, in school. And they still, basically the same thing as when you're in middle school.
I remember that.
Wow.
It's someone comes in, and then you, have this whole conversation. You have to say penis out loud, and then... You write anonymous questions.
Yeah. Didn't we do a dance for ours?
You did a dance? Not a whole dance, but we were
the
in
egg
a...
going through the ovaries or something like that.
Yeah,
we were fertilization.
Games. We didn't. Mm-hmm.
I think it was just that one, because I wasn't with you guys in sixth grade, and then
mm-hmm.
it was just that one lady that came.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were talking about a school dance.
No. We didn't do a sex ed school dance.
That'd be weird.
What's the theme of this dance? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're saying that you did have sex ed in sixth grade, but you haven't had it in high school?
They do it in health. I haven't taken health.
Yeah.
You have to take health. It's a requirement. So she'll get it next year.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
It's a requirement.
I don't want to graduate.
OK, Okay, so you kind of defined sexual health. So how do you maintain sexual health?
Going to the doctor, you know, like getting checkups all the time.
Making sure you're in like a healthy relationship mm-hmm. with your significant other.
If you get like a new partner, have them like get tested, stuff like that.
And yourself get tested.
Yeah, just
too.
Making sure you and the other person are happy and safe.
Mm-hmm.
And just checkups and stuff. Mm-hmm.
What are you getting tested for?
STDs.
Sexually transmitted mm-hmm. diseases.
Like, what sexual transmitted diseases are common around here?
Chlamydia, mm-hmm. probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely chlamydia.
I feel like chlamydia is a big one.
I've heard a bunch of girls getting chlamydia.
I don't know any other ones I don't really think that are common around here.
Mm-hmm.
Does someone who has chlamydia, is it easy to recognize that you have chlamydia?
I have no clue. I have very little knowledge of this.
I know it can, like, scar your, like, ovaries or your fallopian tube or something. It can make you not have children. But I'm not sure about the side effects or if it's, like, a thing you can, like, tell. I'm not sure what those are. But I've heard some things about it.
How about gonorrhea? Have you heard of anybody in high school having gonorrhea?
No.
I've never even...
I've never even heard anyone having STDs.
Yeah, no, the only person... The only, like... STDs I've heard of, like chlamydia, is coming from somebody who's out of high school.
Yeah, I've heard from like adults and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But in high school, like nobody.
Yeah. That we know of, obviously.
Yeah. That we know of.
Well, no one's, not too many people are sharing. Just hey, hey,
also,
I got
not too many people having.
Dude, guess what? Last
I got chlamydia.
That was so cool.
I don't think a lot of people are even really sexually active at the high school. At our school, not very many people.
It's died down.
Yeah.
It really has. From, like, when my brothers and sisters were in school to, like, now. Like, it's really, like, no.
Yeah.
A lot of people
unless
don't
you're, like,
do much.
In a relationship, but, like...
Yeah.
Not too many people are just... I don't know, people. Like, there's, like, 100
nobody really, like, hooks up.
Yeah.
How long ago were your brothers and sisters in school?
My brother graduated 2 or 3 years ago. My sister graduated, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
And there was a lot more sexual activity
more.
Then?
I remember hearing about them and all that stuff and all the parties. And there was a lot more teen pregnancies back then and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's died down a lot since we've been in high school.
We killed the buzz.
So among 11th and 12th graders, could you estimate what percentage of people are sexually active, meaning having intercourse?
In the entire school?
The 11th and 12th grade.
20%?
20-40%. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say 40. 40 is too generous.
20, maybe 30.
Maybe 20. We're doing a flat line at 20. Like, regularly, I would say.
Yeah, regularly, like so.
But also, what even is regular? Like,
like once a week?
Once
is that
a week?
Like regular? Like
once
twice
a week?
Week,
I would say less.
Oh, way less.
Once a week, I would say like 10%.
I'm
not
regular,
even like 2%.
Like, people have sex is about like once or twice a week. So, like, I don't think we're even up there.
No, not up there.
Our class? No.
No.
Our class is very not.
Yeah, no. I would go with like 10, 15% if we're doing like once a week having sexual intercourse.
That's not even. No.
Not even.
Honestly, maybe.
Honestly, like one person. There's one person that I can think of that probably has sex once a week.
Yeah, like,
one person.
A lot of
like
people in our class are still virgin.
Not even once a week. There's one person that has sex once a week that
I can think
of.
I can think of, like, two. People are dating.
I can't think of two.
Okay, it's irrelevant. Moving on. It's a little percentage.
That is what I wanted to know, is, like, what kind of percentage.
I would say low.
Very low.
Low.
But to get an STD, you don't have to be... doing regular sex. I mean, you can have sex once and get an STD.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you maintain sexual health if you occasionally or maybe just once have sexual intercourse? How do you maintain sexual health?
Use a condom.
You get, like,
things.
You and your partner both, or even just the person you're having sex with, both get checked before you have sex. Or just make them show, like, even if a lot of people lie. Just nowadays, a lot of people are just taking their tests on their phones and just, like, showing it to people. Like, oh, yeah, like, here. Like, I'm clean. Like, we can have sex. Like, I just went to the clinic the other day, and then they told me it's, like, a whole digital thing now that you can get your test sent to you, and then you can just prove it to, like, whoever you're having sex with.
That's
cool.
What?
How is that terrible?
I thought you were saying
you
that, like,
whip out a folder
saying,
and be like, here's my medical record.
I thought you were saying that as, like, a fake thing.
Like, a false thing.
No, it's, like,
just to
prove that you
are
clean.
Like, that was awful. I was like, that's terrible.
How about herpes? Do a lot of people up here have herpes?
I feel like people have like types of herpes, like cold sores. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You can also get that from like your parent, can't you?
You can get that from certain drinks.
Yeah, you can get that from like not anything really sexual, I guess.
I just read a thing that said that Juul's vaping is a huge new source of spreading herpes.
Nobody Juul's here.
If people are using the same tip,
it makes sense. But nobody Juul's
or like a weed pen. Like those are the same things. Or like even if you were like a bunch of people, you bring a bong to a party.
Oh yeah.
Well, you don't really.
You're putting your lips up. Well, joints. What about joints? Like that's a big thing.
Pipes.
Yeah.
Joints. Oh my gosh.
I was just looking at, I was trying to find out HIV AIDS rates for Mendocino County, but I couldn't find anything specific for the county. But what I did find from California.gov, from 2012 through 2016, the number of persons in California living with diagnosed HIV infection increased from approximately 121,000 to over 132,000. In 2016, the prevalence rate of diagnosed HIV infection was about 336 per 100,000 people. So if you think about Mendocino County's population, which hovers around 90,000, I can't do the math, but I'm sure somebody here could. 336 out of 100,000 people in California are diagnosed with HIV. Mm-hmm. So yeah, about 300 people in Mendocino County. That's according, wild. You know, if you were to use the California state average, there's about 300 people in the county that are infected with HIV currently.
It's not that much.
That's not that much.
Yeah. The whole county.
But if you think about how small our communities are, and like how many kids are at this school?
Yeah,
like
100.
About 100?
It's more like adults. I've heard like a lot about like adults that like share diseases and all that. Like it's not really kids.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you think that the adults in this area are good role models for sexual health?
No, not at all.
There's a lot of parent swingers and all that stuff. So
I think a lot of the trends are just like people just be having babies all the time.
Yeah.
And like of course people want children, but like there's kind of the problem. I think it's just kind of like
there's really like a baby coming right now. I feel like
That's like, do you really need to have that kid?
Well, a lot of time it's not even their choice.
Jesus Christ!
But like, you shouldn't have kids if you don't like if you can't support them. Like, you should think,
amen.
Do I need this kid right now? No. Does this kid need to come into the life right now? No. Like, you just wait.
I think that's also part of sexual health, like being aware of like.
Well, a lot of times it's always an accident, or like they just
exactly, and that's not practicing safe sexual health.
Yeah.
Round and back every.
So they're not good role models then.
Yeah, the parents really aren't.
Sorry, guys. Not you, specifically.
We're all terrible.
The majority.
Actually, let me specify it.
We know.
I mean, what if...
So if condoms are the best and most immediate way to prevent STDs, how easy is it for a young person to get condoms in this area?
Pretty easy.
Very easy.
Now it's easy.
Yeah, peer counselors.
That's
we have like baggies of like condoms and stuff that they can ask us for them. Or
at the clinic, or you can just walk in. They won't even ask you what you're doing. You can get condoms. You can go buy them from the store. Sometimes they have a free basket at Foster's. Like, it's pretty easy to get them in this town. Just everyone's embarrassed to do it because everyone knows everyone.
Is it easy and not embarrassing to go and get an STD test here? Does the health center
it's
have
like
to
the
report?
Health center, like tattles on you or something. If you
they don't
a
tell your parents.
File, like they'll make you one. It's pretty easy just to be like, hey, can I get my blood work done? And they'll do it right for you. And
they won't report to your parents.
No, it's you can have a confidential file.
Good.
From like I think age 12 and like to 18. You can have a confidential file, and you can give them your number, or they can, like, give the number to someone else so they can contact you if you don't have a phone. Like, they make it work. Like, they're pretty good over there.
So we've kind of decided that the local adults are not such a great role model. How about social media? Is that good role models on social media for sexual health?
I don't really see too many sexy things.
Yeah, but everybody's always, like social media, it's always, like, joking about, like pull out methods and stuff like that, like not using a condom, but like so it's not a really good influence, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it's always just like, oh, like we can like have sex without a condom, but like then they just, they're just like, oh, I won't come on her. But, like, they don't think about the STDs. Like, just be, like, they're pretty much, their main concern is babies and not, like, their health, which is stupid to me. Like, I think that's really dumb.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of how it is. Just like, oh, no, like, we can have sex without a condom. I just won't come on you. It's like, there's so many other things you have to think about than just a child. Like, there's, like, so that's, like, the main thing of, like, social media. It's like, oh, pull out, no condoms, like, this and that, but just, like, no babies. So that's just how it is. And then that's stupid.
And then it's always like, too, like, they always joke about, like, if it does happen, just like, oh, just get an abortion, you're fine.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. They just make everything seem like it's, like, not that big of a deal. Like, oh, like, teen pregnancies, if you, like, get pregnant, just have an abortion. Or, like, if you get an STD, like, this is that. Like, they just make everything so casual. Like, oh, it's not that big of a deal not to use condom. Or, like, it's okay if you miss a pill this day. Like, I don't know. They just make it seem like it's not important, but it really is.
So do you think that influences a lot of people to act unhealthily sexually?
Yeah. It makes them just see, like, it makes them, like, the kids around here, just in general, the kids, like, watching social media, makes them think, like, oh, I don't really need to care about that. I don't really need to be that concerned about that. Like, if everybody's not using a condom, then, like, I don't have to. Like, that's just kind of how it is.
But also, like, we're not, there's not too many kids, like, once again, having sex. So they, it might be,
like. Yeah, I wasn't just saying around this area, just in general, the kids on the social media.
I think it's just, like, guys will do anything to, some guys will do anything to make themselves, like, look cool. So if they're, like, oh, yeah, well, my girlfriend and I don't use condoms.
Use a condom.
Then it's, like, then other guys are, like, well, I'll use
condoms. How is that cool? How is that?
We're gonna have a kid.
Teen pregnancies.
So cool.
Would you say there's much peer pressure to have sex while you're in high school?
No.
Honestly, no.
Yeah. Not here, at least. No. I'm sure
other bigger schools, probably.
Like, because so few people have sex.
Yeah, so it's
not like a surprise. Like, everyone's just kind of, like, there's a lot of kids that want to, but, like, no one's pressuring them to do it or not also to do it.
Also, there's, like, a lot of kids that, like, it's kind of the opposite here. Like, if you're having sex, you're kind of, like, immediately, like, whore, slut, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Like, if you lose your virginity. If you have sex with more than three people, then they're like, oh,
not even that. If you have sex with one person, you're just slut. Unless you're, like, dating them, slut. Immediately.
Yeah, like, you can't even, like, a lot of kids won't even, like, date somebody in the school. They'll go outside of the school to date somebody, because if you do date somebody in the school, we're so tightly packed, you're immediately called those names and you're immediately just shamed upon, which is so weird, because in, like, other places, if you, like, girls have sex with, like, multiple guys. Guys, like, have sex with a lot of girls, and they won't even, like, get shamed for it. Like, it's a normal thing. But for some reason, in our small community, it's, like, such a big thing for, like, a girl to lose her virginity.
And,
like, something like
business?
That.
Yeah.
And, like, rumors get spread like wildfire just because we're all so tightly packed and everyone knows their families. And, like, it's just so, like, it goes to one friend, it goes right to their parent. Like, that's just how it is. So it's really hard for, like, confidentiality to happen in this school because no one knows how to shut their mouth.
Yeah.
I think it's also people wanting to seem like they know everybody's families.
Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I think it's a blessing and a curse for it to be a small town, because people are, they imagine that we're that close, but they're also trying to bring in different things that may not be true just because they're trying to show we're that close.
Yeah. A lot of times too, like, you can't even, like, text somebody or flirt with somebody without being called a whore. Like,
yeah, like, the next day you're in class and they're just like, oh, like, were you texting so-and-so? That's like, people just know your business. And, like, even if you weren't even trying to, like, hook up with that person, even if you're just talking to them and they're of the opposite gender, you're a slut.
Immediately.
You're a whore.
Yeah, like, and it's just ridiculous. Have, like, a bunch of, like, friends of the opposite sex, all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, she's a whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely focused more towards girls, too.
For sure.
Like, guys is, like, cool.
But guys, too. Guys get it a lot, too. Like, if you're talking to, like, a girl and then, like, not even talk, like, barely texting, like, leave them on red for, like, 2 days and then, like, make out with somebody at a party, like, oh, that's he's a F-boy, like,
right, yeah,
like, immediately.
Yeah, they assume just because you're talking to someone, like,
you can't talk to anybody else.
You know, like, there's just weird, because not that, like, people date here either, like,
that's the thing. I feel like everyone is so, they think that if you talk to somebody, you should be in a relationship with that, like, with that person. But, like, no one, there's not that many couples in this school. Yeah. Like, so many people don't actually get into relationships that are in the school. Like, a lot of people go outside of school, so they just don't date through their whole high school career. But, like, the like everyone thinks that if you talk to somebody, you are with that person. Like, you are with them. And it's just like, no, if I want to kiss somebody, or if I want to go on a date with somebody, or if I want to text somebody, that does not mean I'm committed to this person now. Yeah. Yeah. But everyone just has this, like, thought that, like, that's what that means. And it's, and then, like, once you, like, realize it's not,
yeah, you definitely need to make sure the other person's aware of the fact, like, you don't want to date them, or just, like, stuff like that. Like, as long as both of you understand it's between those two people and no one else needs to be like, oh, you guys should date, or, like, why aren't you guys dating yet?
But everyone does get in it, and even if you both know what's going on, other people think that they know what's going on too, but they don't.
That's for sure.
It sounds like there's maybe less of a double standard now, as far as, like, you know, if a girl has a couple partners within a month or so, their friends or their peers might call them a slut or a whore, but then it sounds like the boys are also being ridiculed for having more than...
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty even now.
That sounds a lot different from, like, when we were in school just a few years ago, when it was very much a double standard.
Just two decades.
Yeah, like, well, it was very much a double standard. You know, if you were a guy and you had multiple girlfriends, it was like, you're the man, you know, and
you know, people like go pretty hard on dudes.
It's actually good.
Yeah. Dude, we definitely
We go hard.
We, like, definitely take...
Like, we try not to make it, like, a double standard. Like, if I don't think... I try not to care, like, if a girl has multiple partners and they're all aware, like, and comfortable and okay with that, I don't care.
Yeah.
But, like, the same thing with the dude. Like, I don't care either if they have multiple partners and they're aware of it.
Yeah.
I think there are some people who have come out as LGBTQ whatever in our school, but it's
not as accepted in the higher classes.
Yeah. Like, underclassmen are a lot more progressive. Like, even in, like, the 2 years. But, like, I can see the difference in the seniors and the freshmen just in how they treat people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if an upperclassman, like, a junior guy came out to all of his guy friends and said he was gay, he would get, like, beat up. Whereas, like, if it was a younger one, I think it would be easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be easier for girls than boys, at least here.
Oh, yeah. If a girl came out as bi or gay... it's probably a lot more accepted than a guy.
Or, like, if a girl comes out as, like, bi, people will, like, assume that they're, like a lot more, like, sexual than all the other girls, or, like, they want to have threesomes with you and stuff like that.
If a girl comes out as bi, I feel like a lot of people assume she's just gay and not just bi. Like, so
they'll be like, oh, you're just, like, you're just gay, but, like, not, like, gonna admit it or stuff like that. Or, like, you have to, like, pick one and stuff like that. Like, a lot of people can't really wrap their mind around, like, pansexuality or bisexuality, just because they're not very introduced to it, I don't think, at least around here. A lot of people don't understand it, and it's not necessarily, like, they're like, homophobic, but they're just...
not interested.
Yeah, they just don't understand, and they don't really want to.
They'd rather just, like, ignore it than try and understand it. I see that a lot, actually, the most, I think. People just try and, like, I don't know, they'd rather, instead of talk about it and try to understand it, just pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Which is, I think it's more harmful for, like, when younger people are looking at you, like, if you're an adult or, like, a person with younger siblings and you just don't talk about it or, like, bring it up at all, it's just kind of, like, it seems more, like, pushed under the rug and, like, bad in the other person's eyes, like, thinking that they're not as accepting. Even if they might be, they just don't know about it, or they're just ignorant to it.
Do you think that's a reflection of the general adult community around here also?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'd say the majority is... like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there is a minority of people who aren't like that.
I can't think of any, like, adult, like, over, like, 25-year-old people in my mind right now that have come out or are, like, openly gay or just, like, anything. Just, like, people around me. Just, like, people that I look up to or just generally, like, in the general community. I can't. I think I can maybe count people, but, like, not bigger than, like, I can count.
I know a few people that are, like, open to whatever, but they don't, like, tell, like, they don't identify themselves
as bi.
They're
not public with that?
Yeah, they're not, like, they just...
because other people wouldn't...
yeah, I know that people that are just, like, open to whatever, like, bi or whatever, but they don't, like, talk about it or say it out loud. They just are.
Yeah, like, I know my older sister, a lot of her friends are, like... like, they'd be, like, bi or, like, not really, like, 100% straight or whatever, but, like, past that, like, they're all, like, early 20s, you know? But, like, if I'm looking at older people, like, people my mom's age or, like, 30s and stuff like that, I can't think of anyone that's openly... any of that, which definitely reflects on the kids being scared to be that because all the people that they're seeing aren't either not being open about it or just not at all.
It's not a commonality.
Yeah, definitely not here.
So you guys haven't noticed that there's a large lesbian community in this area?
No.
I was going to say, I know a few, like our
principal.
You said you don't know anyone over like three, but I know a few moms.
Like, I don't know any moms.
I know, I could think of a few that, like, they don't say, like, oh, I'm lesbian, but, like, I hear that they are. Or, like, hear things that they do.
I've been finding out, like, people that I didn't know lesbian are lesbian. I was super surprised.
Like, I know, like... Am I allowed to say? And yeah, they don't care. Obviously, you're either real like 60s older lady and you're lesbian, or you're like young 20s and you're like bi, and then that's the middle space. Everyone is just kind of straight, which is weird because like when's that line being made?
But... I know a few like older women who like don't say that they're bi or gay, but then like I hear them do stuff that is. So I'm like, yeah.
Is there a recognition of transgender in the schools up here?
No.
No.
None at all.
No. Like, I don't know anyone.
It's never talked about.
There's no one in the school that I know that identifies as transgender in the sense that, like, I was born a boy and now I define myself as a female. I know a few people that are gender fluid.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not like people are respecting that, though. No one respects you if you... If you identify as transgender or gender fluid,
well, like if you respect you, but they don't respect your decision.
Yeah, they don't like, respect they your don't, decision. Like if you decide, like, you know, like if like I would like I prefer you to call me like refer to me using like they them pronouns or like he she or whatever. Like they don't respect that. They give you the pronouns that you have like on a piece of paper that you're like when you got when you're born. It's not really like they don't put that into consideration. A lot of people just don't understand it. I think that's, again, like, people don't respect it because they don't understand it. So they just kind of bash it.
Could you define gender fluidity?
It's just kind of someone that doesn't necessarily define themselves with one gender or the other, or, like, throughout their, like, their week or their days or whatever, they just kind of flow between whichever gender they want to identify as, or, like, none at all, just kind of, like, on the spectrum of gender. They don't plan themselves specifically in one for their whole life.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like they go wherever they want to. They don't really feel like pinned down to one specific gender.
I think why people are so like judgmental about it is because like they don't understand, like they just don't understand it. They don't understand.
Yeah, everyone's just kind of like, well, you have to pick one. And yeah, and they're like, well, I don't want to pick one. And then they just kind of get angry, I think.
It's like a lot of things in society, like you have to choose one to be able, like, to, even like just sign up in line for something, it's like boy or girl. And sometimes there's other, but like,
Sometimes. I go to, like, a summer camp that's very accepting of stuff like that, and so a lot of the knowledge and understanding I have is from that, which is really helpful, especially because I live in a very, not necessarily conservative, but not, like,
progressive,
like, worldly-thinking community. So when I go there, it's kind of nice.
There.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to, like, see that and kind of bring it back as much as I can, you know?
It reminds you that not the whole world is like this.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people just, their head is so based in Laneville that they can't even grasp the idea that people could be different than how they are here, which is very sad.
What do you think of when you hear the term toxic masculinity? Is it contagious? Is it something that is developed in high school, and how can we get beyond it?
I think it perpetuates violence, for sure, just because it's... With the whole idea of toxic masculinity, a lot of it is just kind of like you have to be like the strongest and the best in that aspect. So like a lot of fighting kind of comes along with that. In school, we have kids that during lunch, we have boys that go and fight at just like box each other just because they want to. I think it adds to the idea of people, like men in general, might have a harder time de-escalating situations in a more like.
Civilized
manner because
non-physical.
Because they're so used to being able to solve all these problems, and people don't care that they're solving these problems through violence. So with women, like it's like you don't do that. Like that's just not in my mind. Like my first idea when I have a problem with someone isn't to fight them. It's just like to talk to them about it, or like figure stuff out, or like get someone else. And I think with men, a lot of the time, not every man, of course, but like a lot of the time, their first instinct is just like, well, I'll just fight him and get it over with, you know? And I think a lot of it is just...
And their friends hype them up and they like...
Yeah. And like, it's kind of like they assume that the only way that they can get this situation to de-escalate is just if they just fight when they could be doing it in a more civilized manner.
I think a lot of times, like if a guy doesn't fight
hasn't fought in a while or something, they'll like try and find excuses to like show that they are still a man or whatever, and like the little things will put them off. Like someone will like nudge their shoulder and they'll like all of a sudden start wrestling, and you're like, how? Like,
how does that? Like a lot of friends that I have that are guys, I know them as very like, because around me and like around all a bunch of other people, they're very like calm and like nice people, but like at parties and stuff, and I see them in their junk, or like someone nudges them, all of a sudden they're like fighting someone like on a table, and it's just kind of where, at least like they kind of know how to turn it on and off, but like the fact that they are capable of doing that in the first place just kind of makes it, makes me a little bit uncomfortable, I guess.
So you pretty much say like from a young age that they're battling their masculinity, and then they go up and get older, and then you battle your masculinity with people that are not from your family, and then it just starts with this whole thing of like who's the like stronger, who's the better bro, who
can also girls, like as a kid, like all that stuff. Being a kid, it's just like roughhousing with like
the parents.
You just need to know when you need to be taught by your parents.
As a girl,
a lot of people around here don't get taught when.
Here's a great example. As a girl, right, I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother, and when we were at the house, and it's just us, we used to wrestle all the time. I'd always like try to wrestle with my brothers all the time. But when we go out in public at family gatherings, I wasn't allowed to wrestle with the boys because I was a girl and I'm supposed to sit there like and be.
I guess I thought of like family gatherings as not public because it's a family gathering. But like, yeah, it's just different.
Like even where, no matter where we are, I'd always get reprimanded because I'm the girl and I'm supposed to be ladylike at family in front of the family.
All kids should be able to.
All kids should not have. All kids should not have to.
Should be taught, should be when taught and where.
To not do that in front of
when
people.
Yeah, when and where.
Yeah.
You know? Like, go ahead, wrestle it out. But
like, especially, like, and it, like, translates into, like, parties and stuff. Like, I remember, like, going to parties and stuff, and I, like, turn around, two dudes are, like, breaking tables, like, we're, like, on top of each other.
Like,
and it's just kind of, like.
And it's pretty much only because, like, oh. Like, the fight, the guys through get really, in like, fights these days.
I've had a conversation, like, a genuine conversation with one dude, turned around, and he's, like, throwing some dude into, like, a closet.
Yeah, and, like, the reason why they're fighting is just because, oh, a guy looked at you weird. Or, like, oh, you're gonna let him do that to you, dude? Like, you're just, like, you're gonna let him, and like, break down your masculinity. Like, it's the stupidest reasons. It's not even like a genuine like thing. It's not like, oh, he just like came over and like insulted you. It's because he actually like nudged you, or like because he was too close to you. If he breathed in your face, like literally the stupidest thing is just to show like who's like the stronger dude. Like it's so stupid. And yes, they are taught that when they are young.
Yeah.
You know, and then it goes up to like these big fights, and then it goes up to like, oh, and it turns into like once they turn sexual, it turns into like fighting against freaking girls of like who can get this girl, who can get this girl. And it just it's terrible, and it is from a young age, you know.
It for sure is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the sense of like competition. Like if you're not winning, then you're not a man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty much.
So what do you think in our culture reinforces toxic masculinity?
Media, like how like just portray like how like movies and different stuff are portraying
just, like, little characters. Things. Like, if you're thinking about, like, Super Mario Bros., there's no female characters that do anything except
they
for say,
they
caught.
Go save
like,
the princess. Like,
and, no, you can play as one of the princesses in one of the movies.
What's her backstory?
It was got, like,
what's her backstory?
In Super Mario, or?
Her
she's
back.
A princess.
Wait,
she's open
you
out.
Super Mario
so
Bros., you can play as a princess?
I'm pretty sure in one of the newer ones.
In the cart,
yeah,
Super Mario Kart, you can. I'm talking about, like,
Smash Bros.
I was just playing with, like, my sister, like, the other day, and, like, the options are you get to be Toad, Luigi, Mario, and...
But some of those, I don't know if they really have genders. You know, like, is
well, there's
Toad...
Not a,
Toad
there's
doesn't wear
Mario
your shirt.
Luigi, for sure, male. There's
Mario
no
Luigi.
For sure female.
Toad, I just thought I've always thought of him as, like, a creature, you know?
Toad isn't wearing
a
shirt, so
they're meant to be
a
boy.
Like, you can
and
tell...
they're also,
I mean,
like,
no,
boy colors.
No,
you know, there
no,
are really genders of colors, but they are
thing.
Boy colors. It's not
Toad
like the Toad's pink. It's not like, you know, Mario and Luigi have, like, a brawn. Like, they're more to be boys.
But there is Toadette.
But
is there
the options?
There
are female characters. Oh. I'm just saying, like, when you're playing Mario Bros., like, you're playing as, like, the savior.
But then
or, like,
again.
And then the princess is getting caught, you're saving her. And, like, that's a fine storyline. Like, obviously, that's totally chill. But,
there's
like,
a game called Borderlands, and you can be a girl in that, and she's, like, the best character.
Dude, I'm not saying all games. I'm just saying that, like, there's games like that where you have that.
I'm definitely getting off
that. You know? Like, there's games and stuff. And, like, when I'm thinking of, like, most of, like, the classic games and stuff. A lot of them have that, and it's obviously
and just like storylines,
yeah, stories and movies, and it's like it's in the past, you know. Like obviously, it's getting better now. People are consciously trying to make that happen, but it's just like that's what we've grown up on, and like they're making it change, but like they're changing in our generation, and that's cool. But like we're still growing up on it, and it's not like it's not affecting
us
and our parents and our grandparents and people around us.
Most like childhood movies, it was like the main character's a dude, and then there's like a girl on the side that they like, and they get the end, and that's it.
That's it. in the Jungle Book,
it's usually just
like cool. And like, and if there was a cool girl, she was cool because she acted like a guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She wasn't cool because she could do something really, like she had to pretend to be a boy, or like she was a tomboy and stuff like that. She was cool because she wasn't showing feminine features, and that's
in the Lego movie too. She's like the main girl, right? She has her hair done, like she's an edgy girl, but she's like strong, and she does flips, and she does like things that mainly guys do, and that's why she's
cool. If you're like a guy,
why does that have to be a guy thing? Like, why does that have to be?
Like when you think of female characters that are like the strong characters, or like the characters that like the main characters, a lot of the time, people enjoy them because they're like, you can do the same thing as a guy, so you're cool, which is also really cool. The fact that you can have characters that are like they're treated the same way, but also, you should have strong characters that you respect in the same way. Even if they're not showing traits.
Yeah, because
that
the stereotype is that guys are better than girls. Guys are stronger than girls. So if a girl can get up to a guy's level, you're freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it is.
Well, yeah, and, like, you are cool, like, but also you should be respected for other things and not have to compare yourself to a guy in order to get respected.
I think a lot of it, though, is like, oh, a girl can do what a guy does. And that's where, like, that's where it's
But
like,
it's
really
cool for a girl to be able to do what a guy does. And if a guy
can do both.
But if a girl can be able to do what a girl does and what a guy does, it's cool. If a guy can do what a guy does and also does what girls do, they're not cool.
But also, like, in the movies and stuff, the girl that is, like, acting like the boy, she gets, like, you know, like, whoa, like, good job. But the girls who aren't, they're like, oh, okay, you're like, just the one waiting to get saved. So what we're trying to say is, like, the ones who actually do compete with the boys, you know, they get, you know, they get applaud. But the ones who don't...
Because, like, the guys are doing the guy things, they're automatically cool. The girls are doing the girl things aren't.
They're like,
they have to do the guy things in order to be cool. And then also... If a guy can only do the girl things, they're automatically not
But what
as
I mean
cool.
by, like, be cool, because some people love girl characters, that like princesses and stuff like that. So, like, be cool.
In, no, in the movie, like, the like not like us thinking they're cool, but like, the people
like
in the movie
okay,
being like, oh, yeah, like, you're our hero, you're cool, like,
as you're saying,
that.
Yeah, not
that's
like
what
us
I mean.
Like,
being
praised. Yeah, not like
maybe
us
not
ones
cool,
being
maybe,
praised.
Like, respected in that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Maybe cool wasn't the word.
Yeah.
The ones that are respected and loved and cherished by all the
like
other
Mulan.
Characters.
Mulan had to, like, be a dude. Obviously, it was ancient China. We get it, you know? But, like... It's just, like, the strong female characters usually just have to act like a dude in order to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changing. Things are getting better now, but also you just have to break down a lot of stuff, and there's always so much, like, fighting with it when it does happen.
If, like, if there was a movie, right, and the guy was, like, really cool, but also, like, did knitting on the side or did, like, sewing or something, then they would not be that cool. Like, they'd be, like...
It's usually done for comedic effect,
right?
Yeah,
they'd be,
yeah,
it's a joke. You're a joke because you knit. Like,
yeah.
something like that. You know,
yeah.
like, if you can...
Because
if you're
a
girl
you
that can do girl
thing,
things and boy
funny.
Things, then you're strong because you can do the boy things. But if you're a boy that can do the girl things and the boy things, then it's funny that you can do
so
the
So, in general,
things.
Just the girl things just aren't cool and they aren't respected.
Good
overall.
Skills, though.
No matter
who,
no matter
how
they are good skills.
Is doing the girl's things, you're not respected in. That's not cool. That's just how it is.
I want to be cool and respected because I can sew a shirt. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just like
you
want to
see
like
how cool we can make our shirts look from getting them from a thrift store, how cool
also,
we can
like,
uplift
why
our
is
clothes.
Sewing like only a girl thing?
That's
it's
what
not.
I
mean. That's why the whole thing
the
is just so
is
stupid.
We're,
like,
we've already started with what a girl can do and what a guy can do. We're putting those things as, oh, that's what a guy does.
Well,
that's
what we were taught.
And so,
no such
that's
thing
what I say, but we continue that. We continue that by saying that it's the girl doing a guy thing rather than a girl
right,
doing
exactly.
something
exactly.
or
yes,
a guy
exactly.
doing
like,
something.
Like us saying, oh, a girl has to
yeah,
do a guy thing to be cool, but like that's not
like
what the
pleasure
is
like that.
It's
a girl
person,
guy.
It's a person doing something
cool.
that we find cool.
Something.
It shouldn't be put
right. we shouldn't, like,
based on
we
the gender
like,
of the person.
We shouldn't put labels on what are girl things and guy things unless it's like... But even then, like,
gross.
Even having genitals at this point, like, you can identify as a female and have a penis, and, like, that's cool. So it's not, like, peeing out of your dick's a guy thing anymore, because it's...
Everything is just so switched.
Like, people are, like, scared, like, well, nothing means anything anymore. Like, girls can, like, guys can dress in dresses, and girls can, like, bind their chest. Like, nothing means anything anymore. All these laws are, like, switched around. Like, what
right.
happened, like, basic things. And at this point, I think that's awesome. Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
understand
that
why
is.
We have to have so many rules and stuff. You can be a girl and like those things, and you can be a guy and like man things, but you don't have to.
That's scary.
And I think that's, like,
some
the whole point
people, yeah.
of feminism.
Some, a lot of people don't like change. That's
yeah, people
exactly.
afraid
of
so many people
afraid
are afraid
of change.
Of change, but I think it's necessary.
But the ones who are changing, those are the real cool people.
Yeah.
So, I think that toxic masculinity also has to do with mental stuff, that men feel like they're smarter than women, and there's a term called mansplaining.
You know what's really funny is when you find a guy who is mansplaining and you say you're mansplaining, they're just like, no, what do you
I
mean?
I thought Judge was mansplaining to me today, and I was like, I feel like an asshole. asshole because he was trying to explain, like, he was explaining a math problem to himself slash Wozzeck, and I also needed clarification. I was like, Jeff, I get it. And he was like, no, it's for myself. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but even, like, when guys, like, in my experience, I will be like, oh yeah, like, I can, like, do these cool things with, like, my motorcycle or my razors and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, well, can you do this and this and this, and like one time I did all this with this and this and this, and I'm like,
just need
okay,
to
well,
prove yourself to
yeah
them.
Like, why,
or like,
you
if you like
prove.
Like I don't even know, like a heavy metal band or something, some guy's like, well, like, name three songs or like stuff like
yeah
that.
Like, if
is
you
that
want,
what mansplaining is?
No, not honestly mansplaining, but just like a girl can't have knowledge on things like that because they're
what is explain the definition.
Yeah, can
of
someone
mansplaining.
I don't
it's
understand
like,
that
when,
fully.
It's when guys will explain like something that they've done to another person or like to another man or woman to make themselves sound cooler and make it seem like it was a lot
like
better than them.
A girl has like obviously has knowledge on something, and the guy who has less knowledge still feels the need to explain, like,
mm-hmm.
even though you know more about it, I still know more after telling
you. I think
you,
that's like a typical
like,
thing, but I think in general, like, it's like the man assuming that they know more than the woman and trying to make them like make that seem like the female can't comprehend what they're saying.
Yeah.
And so they have, like,
gotcha.
Dumbed themselves down,
down
make them,
to make them understand.
They're, like, like being condescending towards someone when they don't know how much they know, but they're just assuming that they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, playing soccer sometimes, and a guy will tell me something, and I'm like, yeah, I know. I've played my whole life. I know how the, I know what the rules are. But, like, they feel the need, and I'm like, no, let me tell you. And they, like, break it down. Like,
yeah.
No, like.
Or, like, just, like, even bands and stuff that I like. Like, I didn't even know bands had, like, genders, but, like, sometimes they're like, oh, like, you like them? Like, name, like, three songs. Like, what's this and what's that? And it's like, okay. Like,
so the definition of mansplaining is the explanation of something by a man, typically to a woman, in a manner regarded as condescending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, putting yourself on the assumption that you know more than them.
Just pretty much being like, oh, even though you know something, I'm just going to tell you everything else I freaking know. That's
like
more
a typical mansplaining like thing is like if you're talking down to a woman and like the woman ends up doing like way more than you do, but like you're just assuming that you knew more.
Yeah.
And
it's all related to toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And because there's all this physical stuff for sure. And it's easier to talk about that. But the fact that our government is not 50% female and CEOs are not 50% female. And, you know, the important people in our culture, women aren't at this point at the same level. I think that's part of toxic masculinity also in that. And there's this notion that for a woman to work her way up into the higher realms of the men, they have to take on a lot of male characteristics, you know, like not caring and, you know, being pushy.
Right.
Yeah.
Being more assertive.
Like,
being more
like
assertive
if you're assertive
like,
or like you tell someone to do, you're automatically bossy or stuff like that. And like they. Yeah.
But I mean, that is kind of what you need to do though to climb to the top. It just shouldn't be considered being a guy thing. It should just be part of getting the top.
Explaining.
Yeah, girls aren't expected to be in positions of power like more than guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you still
when you picture
president,
someone
yeah,
like
obviously.
You, like, even like I picture a dude and then I'm like. Even though I'm a girl, I still do it. Like, I don't know.
When you see, like, someone in power?
Like, if you think about,
if someone,
a doctor, I automatically think
same.
Of a guy.
Same.
I literally always
think. But you think of a
no,
nurse, and you immediately think of
a
female.
Exactly.
That's
and it's
the
like,
thing.
It's not like
I'm fully aware
you know,
that, like, there are both male and female doctors. I think of a white
thought.
Dude when I think of a doctor, and that's just kind of what happens.
Yeah.
Your first thought.
But, like, it's not like I'm like, oh, that's what all doctors have to be dudes, but, like, it's just, it's in my mind so heavily.
It's taught to us. It is, you know. And the thing is, like, with medical things, so many people complain that they want a white doctor and that they don't trust a doctor of another, like, color.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's been so many things. Like, there's literally been, like, cases that I've read about with my mom about women, like, literally saying, no, I'm not going to give birth to my child if I have a doctor of color.
Yeah,
and it's just, like, I don't understand how you could trust one race more than the other by, like, trying to help you give birth to your child. Like, what even?
Do you think there'll ever be a term called feminine toxicity?
I think it's called feminazis.
I think the term, like, toxic masculinity, like, is brought up from, like, the intense history of women being oppressed and men being above, and then that whole thing of, like, being above and being strong is, like, you have to do all these things. But I don't see in the future
women
being
ever getting
I don't see men
high.
Being oppressed and women being way up higher for like
I feel like it's
60,
getting even
like in it like yeah I can see it being even
I don't
but
think
I don't
we're gonna
I don't see men and women
them.
Consciously making women up higher for that long.
Well, some women though think that like a lot of women go overboard to make it like we should, the women should be in power now.
Yeah.
And that's like a whole thing.
I think that's like an extra thing, but that's the same thing. But I don't think it's like the majority of females are like, we
definitely
are
above. Not the majority.
And then, so like that's why I don't think toxic masculinity would ever, I mean toxic femininity would be a thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's going to be a time in the near future, maybe like thousands of years, who knows, but like in the near future of like our lifetimes and stuff,
we have, like, probably, we're not going to see that. We're probably not going to see
that. And even that, it's not like enforcing like culturally all these women have to act like this way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some traits, you know, like if you like, there's stupid things like for feminists, like
you can't have a boyfriend because you think all guys are like bad, and you can't like,
I mean, I don't
like
think
thinking
that.
All men are bad is definitely feminazis. That's definitely that's what.
Or like little things like that where you're like, oh, I'm not like other girls, like I don't wear makeup and stuff like that. You have to assume that like, in order for me to be like
a feminist,
you a have feminist, to, like, not wear makeup, to not wear makeup,
to be like almost like completely natural in a way.
Yeah,
like you should be able to be like shave your head and you're fine. Like it's like that. Like the standards for being like a real feminist. Well, like not even like the definition of feminist is, it doesn't even mean any of that.
No,
people just see like if you say you're a feminist, oh, you obviously hate men. You're a total hippie. You're crazy, and you just want to argue with everybody. Like that's pretty much how people see it.
And it sucks. Well, it shouldn't be like that.
It's not even that, like, you just want it to be equal. That's all you want.
It's there because some people are like that. I think
it's, like, a good opportunity to demonize a group that people are already trying to tear down.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously there are bad people in every single group. Like, especially, like, I'm not looking at, like, a group of men that are terrible and assuming all men are pigs.
Yeah.
But, like, because, like, there's already an organization that a lot of people don't really like too much, they're trying to pick out these people that are bad and then assuming that's what everybody else is like. But it's not.
Yeah, you can't like look at some hicks that like hang up people just because they're gay and think, oh, all white people are bad. You can't just look at a group of Hispanics and think just because they do that same thing that all Hispanics are bad. Like, you can't just assume that everybody who fits into one thing, like if you see one bad person like that, you can't assume that the whole group of them is bad, you know?
Do you guys think that you're part of a generation that's going to radically change culture?
Mm-hmm.
This culture?
Yes. We already are doing it.
Describe it.
Just having talks like this and being able to have an open mind is something that
the first step of rectifying the problem is definitely identifying that there is a problem, that there is something that needs to be changed.
I've had conversations with adults that are like my parents' age, and them just being like, well, no, it shouldn't be like that. Like, girls should not play with the guys because that's not what they do. They shouldn't play football because that's a guy thing. Like, I think that if you want to do something, then you should do it as long as it's not hurting other people.
Yeah, I think especially with the internet that we have now, back in the olden days, you had your family's opinion, and then you could disagree with that opinion, but it's not like you could
tell
anyone about it. Like, that was that, but now that you have the internet, and you can have this opinion. Like, I remember being, like, a freshman, and, like, what my idea of, like, being, like, a feminist was, and, like, all these things, and, like, I was like, well, I don't wear makeup, I'm not like other girls, and, like, all these things, like, tearing down other girls and their choices, because I thought that's what it meant for me to be, like, respected and, like, a feminist or whatever, and then I'd, like, look and realize that the internet shows me, and, like, it shows me other people's sides, and, like, sometimes I'll just look at different things from, like, I don't know, like, really, like, conservative people and, like, talks that they have and stuff like that. So I can you can understand more, like, what other people think because you have information about everyone else on the internet. I think because we have so much information about other people and how they think, it makes it easier for us to understand and have our differences without, you know, like, this, like, the Soviet Union and, like, communism and stuff. Like, back then, like, we were getting stuff and we were just believing it, you know? Like, we were like, yep, they do all this crazy stuff, and, like, that's what it is, and they're monsters and they're terrible people. But, like, if that happened now, we just, like, Google stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, understand, like, other people, and, like, we could, like, message people and stuff like that. Like, we can de-escalate things and not make things as big of a thing because we can understand
what people are coming from. You can see people from all over the world and what they think, not just the people around you.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
So I think that's probably what
what causes problems is people choosing not to, even though they have that as an option. But
when
they
have, like, when they choose to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse for that anymore.
I feel like your generation is the next generation since my generation that actually has an opportunity. You aren't all brain dead at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do to change the world?
Oh, that's a good question.
No,
probably just
decrease poverty.
Take things one thing at a time.
Influence the people around us the best we can, I guess, to do and make the right decisions.
We need
sometimes
equality.
We don't know the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We need acceptance.
We need equity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Equity, definitely.
Equity is basically like
giving everyone what they need in order to succeed. And equality would be giving everyone the same amount of thing and assuming that they're going to succeed. Like, if someone's 4 feet tall, someone's 6 feet tall, someone's 5 feet tall, and they only look over a fence, the 6 foot tall person's already going to be able to see. The 5 foot person maybe only needs, like, a tiny little thing. And then the 4 foot tall person needs, a lot more of a boost.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
5 foot, they still need another foot.
So, like, yeah, everyone starts off in places that give them different advantages. And you can't give everyone the same exact thing and assume they're all going to succeed.
What do you think about the homeless situation in this country? When I was a kid, there was very few homeless people. Yeah, and they were called bums, but they were able to stay at what were called flop houses in the 50s, where you could stay, you get a room and a bed for like 50 cents, and it was really a rundown place, but you could get to it for 50 cents. There was never people tenting out on the streets, never.
Like, I go to Santa Rosa or something, you see underneath the overpass, there's people living in tents there. Mm-hmm. It's like, it blows my mind. Everybody drives by, and I see people that act like, God, you know, why don't they just get it together? Mm-hmm. It's like...
Yeah. A lot of people have, like, really disabilities or mental illnesses, and they can't function normally you or me could. And so it's like they can't just, like, get a job super easily because they're super unstable.
They don't have family either.
Like, they don't have a family, or if they've struggled with, like, a really intense addiction and, like, they have nothing to help them.
And even rehab didn't help them, you know? Like, what do they do?
But, like, also, I've met, like, a lot of homeless people, and a few of them, like, they might be a little crazy, but a lot of them like it.
I know a lot of people that, like, live in tents and they're happy.
Yeah,
and
they're really, they like it. Like,
so
I think it very much depends on a lot of other people that don't like how it looks.
Right. I think it depends on where you're living too. Like, in San Francisco, I'm sure there are far less homeless people that are.
Oh my God, it was so sad. I went there yesterday, and there were so many women with newborn babies. They were just, like, breastfeeding them on the sides of the street. I literally was almost crying.
Yeah, I saw, like, two homeless women with children.
No, they were, like, the baby was, like,
and, like, we didn't even look around that much.
Still.
It's hard enough when you have enough, like, barely enough to support them. If you have, like, not, like, a roof or something, mm-hmm. or maybe food. It's hard just supporting a kid when you have enough money for it.
Yeah.
But, like, raising a kid on the street is just
It was a brand new baby, and I was just like, holy hell.
It's hard to get a job with a baby, so, like, mm-hmm. what are they going to do?
I just think people also, like, especially if I grew up in the city, I think I'd just numb myself to it, because, like, what else are you going to be able to do? Like, you can give them money, you can give them food, but, like, it comes to a point where it's, like,
there's too many
for you yourself to fix, so what am I going to do but just get numb from it.
Right. Takes a group as a whole, you know, to change.
And, like, exactly. So, like...
Do you realize that, like, there's 50,000 new homeless people because of the fires in California in the last year? I know some of them, and it's like they lost everything. Mm-hmm. They were renters, so they didn't have insurance or anything.
Right.
And then trying to rent a place out, like, especially the people around Chico, Paradise, the rents are, like, super high anyway, and then to start over, it's, like, impossible. So they're entering as the new homeless people, and they don't have mental issues, but they're going to get them, I think, from hanging out, living in a tent under an overpass in Santa Rosa.
You can go crazy by, like, living in terrible conditions.
And, like, even after that, you could still have, what's it called?
PTSD. Trauma.
PTSD and, like, trauma from stuff like that. It's not like you're seeing sunshine and rainbows every single day. Like, there's other crazy people doing crazy things. And, like, you can't just,
so you can just get, like, PTSD from, like, watching your home burn down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, all your family memories. You grew up in that house. You just watched it burn to the ground. Like, you're going to get messed
up. I really get angry at people that are just like, oh, we'll just get a job. Because a lot of things aren't that simple to do things like that. I mean, I'm 100% sure there are some people that are just lazy and just don't want to get a job, and they're just, like, they think that everything's just going to come to them. They just on the side of the road with, like, a bucket and stuff. But mm-hmm.
there's a higher percentile, like, of people that
schizophrenia or, like, other things like that, or, like, bipolar disorder that's, like, really bad, and they can't just get a normal, like, 9-to-5 job and succeed. Because they have all this stuff that they were born with, it that they developed, and it's not like they can just turn in, like, a thing and then just get it. Like, they need extra help from communities and people to help them get whatever help they need.
Yeah, they can't once just again, get equity.
I think people change radically. There's been some studies, a lot of studies done with homeless people, and how much people change after a month living in a tent, you know, begging for money, you know, and then after a year, they're really gone, you know, and not to say that they can't come back, but they're going to need to be you know, really helped out to be able to come back. And I think that's something your generation and the new radical generation is going to have to deal with, is that inequality, that thing that somehow or other we've learned to go, well, you know, I can't worry about them.
But don't you think that's a little, like, messed up to, like, put it on our generation to fix all of the generations before us problems?
No, but
we don't have a choice.
No, yeah, but it's kind of like, it's too late now. We can't go back. So, like, we're going to do
it. We just keep moving forward.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. We're just either going to do it ourselves or put it on the next generation. Yeah.
We might be the ones that, like, make other generations change, you know?
Maybe.
Like, we might be the one that stops that, you know?
Also, if we can't get that to happen, though, then they're going to be like, oh, Gen X is
the fact that we are this far already shows people... other generations have helped. You know what I mean?
Because we've gone far. Yeah.
Like, we've gone very far. It's not as easy to, like, be stable as it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely something harder. Like, people are giving millennials a lot of shit for, like, being lazy, but, like, they have to work extra hard to get the same stuff that was easier to come by when you, like, with older generations.
You can't just put all of your problems onto other people, you know? Like, you can't just...
It's not
like,
their problems,
I know.
So it's ours.
How is it not their problems if they're the ones that made them?
We share
exactly.
Every single generation has created
it,
its own problems.
But, okay,
like,
not,
it's
like,
not like this, like
giant I just think that it's messed up for, like, people from other generations to be like, well... I don't know. We made the problem, but you guys need to fix it. Like,
they need to help us.
They need to just be like, whatever,
yeah,
dude.
Well, think about it. A lot of them are getting old, too.
A lot of generations kind of like, your turn, you know, but, like, they made the problem.
Kind of
we need all of them to help
a
us,
lot.
You know?
It's like, next, who's going to do this? But I'm like, you guys aren't dead yet, so, like, help us out.
Like, seriously. A lot of people from your generation that I have met are just like, well, yeah, like, we may have made the problem, but, you know, you guys are going to be living in this for a while, so here's something you need to fix for us. Sorry about it. Like, I have not met one person that's like, I think both
parties really need to change a little bit.
We just need to be together.
Us trying to also deflect it back and say, is your problem?
Yeah.
We're pushing the problem back and forth without just trying to get into it.
We
want to
fix things, like, obviously.
Like, guidance, at least.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Leonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Leonville community. If you're interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Leonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jayma@leonville.org, jayma@leonville.org.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this radio station. They're the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is free to rebroadcast upon notification. Our shows are posted monthly at our website, youthspeaksout.net. You can find our podcast link there or on iTunes. Our next show will be posted in April. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in April.